Okay, both sides. Everyone Shavua Tov, and it should be a meaningful fast today. We're on Daf Yudam and Aleph, and we began the Sugya of Rava. And you may recall that according to Rava, we have a principle called Palginon Dibura, which Rashi already mentions on Daf Tesamid Beis, one line up from the bottom. And that covers the case of Ploni Ravani Lertzoni, where Rav Yosef says you can't accept his edus on himself because he is, by his own admission, a Rasha, because Lertzoni means that he willingly submitted himself to this action. And therefore, hence, we can't accept his testimony even on the Roveah, even on the person who was the Boel. However, Rava says we can apply a principle called Halginan Dibura, which means that we can accept his testimony as far as the Boel is concerned without even listening to his testimony about himself. That's how we cut it into parts. Where did Rashi get this phrase from, Halginan Dibura? Rashi got it from the Gemara here on Daf Yudam and Aleph. Because the Gemara Yudam and Aleph, after formulating the case of Rava, which is Ploni Ravani Lirtsoni, Rava adds another case of Ploni Baal Ishti. And the Gemara is going to try to figure out exactly what Rava was adding in the case of Ploni Baal Ishti. Because ostensibly, as we'll soon see, it would seem to be a repetition of what Rava said about Ploni Ravani Lertzoni, because in Ploni Ravani Lertzoni we don't accept his edus on himself, but nevertheless we can accept his edus against the Rovea. And what's that called, Rabosai? That we don't accept his edus for himself, but we do accept his testimony on the Rovea. Palgina Dibura. Excellent. Palgina Dibura. And if we're going to apply the principle of Palgina Dibura, then in the case of Ploni Baal Ishti, then clearly, although he is excluded from testifying on his own wife, because she's certainly a Karov, she's certainly a relative of his, but nevertheless, as far as Ploni the Boel is concerned, if we apply the principle of Palgin and Dibura, then Mitztarfin, Hu V'Yachir Mitztarfin Lahargo, which means that he, the husband, is a kosher aid as far as the Boel is concerned, right? He's not related to the Boel, and even though he's not believed as far as his wife is concerned, we'll apply Pagin and Dibura, and we'll believe him as far as the Boel is concerned. Avalola Harga, right? He can't be one of the Eidim in a kat that's testifying against her because he himself is related to his wife. So the Gemara is asking, basically, Maika Mashmalan. Well, why do I need Rava to repeat what he already said? The Palgina Dibura, if he's telling me a case of Palgina Dibura, that principle is already established. Hainu Hach, that's exactly what he said in the case of Ploni Ravani Lertzoni. So again, let's just review the Gemara's question here, so we'll appreciate the Gemara's answer. What's the difference between the following two cases? Case number one is the case of Rava, of Ploni Ravani Lertzoni. And we believe him as an aid kosher, together with another aid, obviously, to testify against the Rovea. And then the second case is Ploni Baal Ishti, where again Rava says we believe him as one aid to link up with another aid and testify against the Boel. In both cases, we're applying the same exact principle of Palgina Dibura. Why did Rava have to repeat himself? You know, he could have relied on our understanding, our logic, and we've accepted his principle of Palgina Dibura, and we could apply it in this case. So here we have a problem in understanding this sugya. So I'm going to read to you a summary here in the Masifta of what the Rishonim are bothered by. Ketzad Yitochen, how is it possible, Shesavra Gemara, the Gemara was of the opinion that in the case of a man testifying about his wife, there may have been a Havamina to say that we have to cut out his, that, that, oh, I'm sorry, let's just read one more line in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ma'udutem, I might have thought, Adam karav etzel atzmo amrinon, etzel ishto lo amrinon. So Gemara says that the Chiddush of Rava in the case of Ploni Baal Ishti is not Palgina Dibura, because that we know already from Ploni Ravani Lertzoni. The Chiddush of Rava here in the case of Ploni Baal Ishti is to establish the principle that Adam Karov Eitzel Ishto, meaning we would have thought that maybe Adam Karov Eitzel Atzmo, and therefore he's disqualified to testify about himself in the case of Ploni Ravani Lertzoni. But as far as his wife is concerned, she's not his relative. They're not blood relatives for sure. Like biologically, they're not related. And therefore, Adam Karov Eitzel Ishto Lo Amrina, the Chiddush of Rava here, is not a Chiddush of Palgina Dibura, but rather it's a Chiddush that the status of his wife is that of any other Karov, vis-a-vis the Psul of Edus, and therefore he cannot testify as far as his wife is concerned. So the Rishonim asked the following question. We have a Mishnah that explicitly says that a man is not qualified to testify on his own wife. And the Mishnah is later on here in Masechta Sanhedrin, and it says the following, that there are a bunch of Krovim that cannot testify on their own relatives. Now, on that list, again, you can take a look. I don't think I have it here. Let me just see. No, I don't have it here. If somebody could open up to Chav Zayin Amid Beis, you'll see a Mishnah there. Is there an extra Gemara Sanhedrin here? You find the Mishnah, Steve? On Chav Zayin Amid Beis. The Mishnah may start on Chav Zayin Amid Aleph. Okay, so anyway, we'll accept that there is such a Mishnah. I don't have a Gemara, so it, right? Eilu Makrovim. So somebody found the Mishnah. Can you tell him to just, okay, because I don't have a Gemara? Can you maybe just help?
There it is.
If I can show
it.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, no, it's there.
Very good. Oh, here it is. Right in the middle of Chav Zayin Amid Beis. You need special glasses for that. Yeah, it's printed in very small print. You know, that's insane. So you go, Steve, you go to the dentist, but maybe you should go to the eye doctor.
I do need to.
Yeah, okay, I'm just joking. Anyway, Bielu, hey, we go back a long time. So, Bielu, hey, not Krovim. Now, on this list of Krovim, all of whom are Posel Yedus, we have two categories. We have what's called Krovim Machmas She'er Basar. She'er Basar means that biologically related. And then we have another category of Krovim, which is Krovim Machmas Ishus, that they're related because of marriage. So for example, you have Achiv, his brother. You have his father, his posel. His father's brother is posel. And all these are what we call She'er Basa. She'er Basa means they're biologically related, right? They're they have the same genes. But then it says, Baal Achosam. That's his brother-in-law by marriage, because he married his sister. And there are a whole bunch of cases here of Psulei Eidus that are listed as a result of Ishus, as a result of marriage. You have here Balachoso, Balachos Aviv, that's his aunt who married his uncle. Balachos Imo is another case of an uncle who married his aunt. Bal Imo, this is his stepfather. You have all these cases of people who are Posel Yedus explicitly in the Mishnah because of the fact that they are related. Okay, well, I'm going to need the next part of the Mishnah, so... No, not now. Hold on to it, and I'll...
Alright, I have also.
Okay, great. So this is the Kash that we've shown him. There's a Havamin in our Gemara, which Rava finds compelled that he has to, Lafuki has to come to exclude this Havamina. And that is that what? That maybe in the case of Ishto, there's no psul. So what are you going to tell me? Because she's not biologically related to him. And it's only a kurva machmas Ishus. Everybody have that? Ishus means marriage. But we have a Mishnah that lists a whole bunch of cases of relatives who are posel-yedus because of marriage. And how much more so in the case of his wife? I mean, that's a real kurva. I mean, that's v'hayu l'basar echad, right? They have to be one. So the answer is that the Gemara here is only dealing with palginan dibura. The havamina here is not that that in general, Adam Karav Eitzel Ishto Lo Amrina, that a man can testify on behalf of his wife. But rather, the Gemara wants to know about Palginin Dibura. And here's what we're going to say. Ein Omrim Sha Adam Karav Eitzel Ishto Legabe Palginin Dibura. We would not apply the principle of a psul kurva relatives that as far as this principle of Palginin Dibura. And therefore, what are we going to say? Hainu hayomakom lomar. Listen to this, Rabbi. I'll say this is what I call first class lumbus. You know, this is very profound, but we'll see if we can understand it. He says, Kashemed Adam Edus Achas al Ishto v'al Adam Acher. So he's testifying one story. He's telling one story. And there are two participants in the story. There's the Boel and his wife. Is therefore mitoch sheneman hu beiduso al oso Adam, since he's believed in his testimony vis-a-vis the Boel, yehi neman gam al ishto. The Torah says all you have to do is you have to get into the circle. You follow me? There's a circle of edus, and if you could just latch on to one part of the edus, and with regard to one part of your story, we believe you, then we can accept the entire Eidus. It's one unit. Again, Rabbo say this touches on what I told you many times, and I just have to review it one more time, that there are different categories of psuli Eidus. There's what's called a chashash meshaker, which means a person, we suspect him of fabricating the truth. And then it's called a psul aguf. Right? Psul aguf means that for technical reasons, he's posel. A melech is posel. A woman is posel. Two brothers, Moshe v'Aaron are posel. Right? That's called a psul aguf. So in psul aguf, we have certain new rules and regulations. One of which is that once we accept part of the testimony, then we can expand that even to the part of the testimony where there is a psul. So although for sure the Gemara understood that a man cannot testify in his wife. Why? Because that's a technical psul. But what happens if we can accept his testimony in part? Because in part, meaning vis-a-vis the Boel, he's not a what? He's not a Karov. Now we can expand it and we accept his testimony even as far as his wife. That's what Rav wants to tell us, like Lafuke, that this is not the din. That we're going to apply the principle of Palginin Dibura. So again, in the past we applied Palginin Dibura in order to be machshir edus, to take testimony and upgrade it to the status of testimony, because we would have thought that since he's not believed, let's say, legabe the nenas, right? Because he says on Sony Liritzoni, and he's not believed. So then, ipso facto, we're gonna disqualify him as far as the Rovea is concerned, as far as the Ma'anis is concerned, right? Well, again, it's not, he, by his own admission, he says it's not a case of onus, but as far as the Rovea is concerned. So now, Palginin Dibura tells me that we could be Machshir the Eidus, and we can accept his Eidus vis-a-vis the Rovea, and Huvi Acham Itztar from Lahargo. Now, what we're applying is the exact opposite. We're saying that Palginin Dibura, in this case, is going to tell me that we're not going to accept Eidus. Instead of being Machshir Eidus, it's going to Pasel Eidus. And Palginin Dibura is going to say that don't expand the Hechsher Eidus that applies vis-a-vis the Boel to the Isha, to his wife, and say, well, you know what, we already accepted his Eidus on this story vis-a-vis the Boel. Let's now expand it to include the Isha. And this is a Tosfos there on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis in the name of Rashi. So again, let's just review it one more time. I'm going to make myself a note where we got up to here. Oh, okay, this is not my Gemara, so I can't make it. Anyway, so here's what's going on here. Who here is willing to be the scapegoat and tell me if you understand what I'm saying? Okay, nobody raised their hand, but okay, Jerry, we're going to point you. Okay, you're my favorite Canadian here, so. All right, here's what we say. The Palginin Dibura is operating in two directions. In one direction, which is the case of Ploni Ravani Lertzoni, Palginin Dibura is Lehechsher, right? Lehechsher, we want to be Machshir the Avis. Right, to make it kosher the ocean. And what we're going to do is we're going to say the following, that Palgina Dibura allows me to cut the Eidus into two, such that even though the person who's testifying is not believed in half of the Eidus in one segment, that's the Gabi Atzmo, because Adam Karavetz Alatzmo was discussed last week, but nevertheless, we're going to sever and cut the umbilical cord between the Liatzmi and the Rover. The Rover is the one who initiated the action. And we're going to accept his Eidus as far as the Rover. So that's applying Palgina Dibura Lahashiv. In other words, we're going to sever the relationship between one segment of the Eidus and the other in order to be Machshir the Eidus. But now, what Tosfos says in the name of Rashi is we're going to apply Palgina Dibura in the exact opposite direction. And we're going to use it with lifsol, right? The opposite of lahashir is lifsol, right? Lifsol. Okay? So it's a half black, half blue. Alright. So what does it mean, lifsol? So here's the point. When we have a psul in the edus, that's technical, I call it a technical psul, it's a legal psul, it's called a psul aguf, then we really believe you in what you're testifying, but we cannot accept your testimony. And again, my classic example of that is going to be Moshe Miyam. We cannot accept their testimony because of a technical psul. And if you're interested, in the case of Isha, a woman who's also disqualified for Eidus, if you're interested in whether that's a psul aguf or not, you have to read a fantastic article by one of my favorite rabbis from Boston, and his name, he's not in Boston for a long time, but his name is Rav Moshe Meiselman. I don't know if you heard of him. So anyway, he has a yeshiva here called Tomo. You heard of it? A lot of Chicago kids go to Tomo. Yeah. That's why I'm asking you. But anyway, Torah Moshe Tomo, and he wrote a book called Jewish Woman in Jewish Law. And I asked him once why he doesn't republish it. He didn't want to give me an answer, so I don't have a feeling that he regrets some of what he published. Anyway, so he has a whole chapter on Jewish women, as far as why they're excluded from testimony. He has many proofs that we believe what a woman says, but there's a technical psul, it's like Moshe Yaron. In fact, we believe a woman on Mises Habal, which is the Eishes Ish, and so forth and so on. So now we have the following problem. Ploni Baal Ishti. He's possible to testify on his own wife. That's called a psul aguf. Let's accept Rabbi Meiselman's thesis here. The Rav Shimon Tov, right? And the issue is as follows. Mal desema, I might think that Adam Karav Eitzel Ishto Lo Amrino, says Rashi, doesn't mean that Lo Amrino, that we don't know that there's a Mishnah on Daf of Zion that enumerates all the psulei karov, even those that are machmas ishus, because of a marriage relationship. We're aware of that Mishnah, and Rava doesn't have to teach us that Mishnah. But we would think that Adam Karav Eitzel Ishto in this case is suspended. And it's no psul of kurva. Why? Because it's a psul aguf. And in the case of psul aguf, we have to throw out the Eidus, barring one exception. And that's where we can already grab onto something. You know, it's like a person is fell off the ship, but if he's holding on to something, then we can pull him up. So what's going to happen here is that since his Eidus, this husband's Eidus, is absolutely acceptable with regard to the Boel, so therefore the Eidus already has something to grab onto. It's already kosher. And now we're going to say that we have to accept his Eidus as a unit, and it's indivisible. Here Rav is telling me a second halacha in Palgina Dibura, and the new halacha in Palgina Dibura is lifsal. And what we're going to say is that Palgina Dibura means that the two parts of the Eidus, one on the Boel and one on the Nevelis is his wife in this case, are two separate entities of Eidus. They're two independent units. So you and I might say, well, Rabbi Berzon, this is not an Iyunshi. You know, I give my Iyunshi at about 10:30, a couple of mornings a week, for those who are around. You know, this is a good time to advertise it, but this is not an Iyunshi. But in this case, I have to tell you that this is something that you can't leave this out, even in a pshat shir, because how could there be a havamina that ain adam karav eitzel ishra? That doesn't make any sense. A man comes into to Bezdin, he testifies about his wife. So there's a havamina that he's not a karev to his wife. I mean, all the other kurva relationships that Apostle Yehuda is by virtue of the Mishnah are all as a result of a marriage relationship. So the paradigm case of a marriage relationship is a husband and a wife. Would you agree with me? And yeah, the fact that somebody's married to his sister, to his father, to his auntie, and this and that, that's already built on the fact that there's a kurva relationship between a husband and a wife. That's already a spin-off. So how could Rav have a havamina, quote, Adam karav etzel ishto lo amrina? What do you mean lo amrina? You know what, you're going to deny a Mishnah? And Rashi, the way Tosfos understood him, addressed this and said that Adam karav etzel ishto lo amrina means that in a case where you have another part of the Eidus and it's all connected to one unit, then we would suspend the principle of Adam karav etzel ishto. Surely when a man comes in to testify about his wife and exclusively, that's the whole content and substance of his Eidus, for sure we cannot accept it. But when he's testifying about his wife in a broader context, in a Maisa, what we call a Sfiras Dvarim, a Sipra Dvarim, in which there's a Baal and the Nevelis, and he's believed as far as the Baal is concerned, here, in the Havid of Rama, we can suspend the principle of Adam Karav Eitzel Ishto, because anyway, that's only a technical psul, what we call a psul aguf. And therefore, we're going to say now that once we believe him as far as the Baal is concerned, and Mela he's believed as far as his wife is concerned. Unbelievable Chiddush of Rashi, and the way Tosfos interprets it on Daf Kof Zayin. There's only one problem. And everything stands or falls on this premise here that Rashi's operating with, is that Adam Karav Eitzel Ishto is only a technical psul. Other Rishonim, as we'll soon see, they're of the opinion that Adam Karav Eitzel Ishto is on a whole different level. It means that he's not believed as far as his wife in the same way that he's not believed as far as himself is concerned. This is not a psul kurva that you could call a technical psul aguf. This is like a man testifying about himself. And that makes him into a different, that puts him in a different category. Like, for example, we said that Ploni Ravani Lertzongi, right? So we're not going to say that since he's believed as far as the Boel or Ovea is concerned, therefore he's believed upon himself. And you'll tell me, well, he's not believed upon for himself because of the technical psul of Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmo. No, that's a different kind of Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmo. The Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmo means that we can't believe him at all. It's completely mufka. It's completely excluded from any sort of credibility. A man has no credibility in testimony in the court if it's relevant to himself. And here you cannot apply the principle of since he's believed on half the Eidus, we're going to extend it as one unit and believe him on the other half of the Eidus. In the case of Adam Karav Eitzel Ishto, those who disagree with Rashi, they say that that's exactly Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmo. Right? That they're one and the same. So what I want to mention to you today before we go on in the sugya is the Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah is a major Rishon on Masechta Sanhedrin, and he has a different approach to this sugya. I just have to find it because I just give me a second. Oh, here's the Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah has a sugya in Bava Basra, and the mashma'ut, the meaning of the implication of that sugya, is that palginin dibura is only lahachshir. It's ein mevatlin es ha'edus legamre. In other words, we can cut out that part of the edus where he's not believed, and we're left with the part of the edus that he is believed. You know, he's telling one story, and therefore ma'mina osal ha'boel ha'roveah. So this whole concept that Rashi operates with, that there might be a svara to say that if you believed on the Boel, you should believed on the Isha as well. Adarabba, he says, on the contrary, a svara no sedes should be told shein neman al ishto. If not for palgida dibura, we would say if he's not believed on his wife, he shouldn't be believed on the Boel. And that was the way that the Gemara operates in Bava Basra with palgida dibura. So therefore he wants to suggest a whole nother pshat in our Gemara, in Rava. Hayamakom lomar she'ein adam karav li'ishto. What does that mean, ein adam karav li'ishto? The Mishnah says that all these psulim are because of ish, is because of marriage. How can it be that he says the following? Pilei Plan. You have to be very creative and original to come up with this idea. He says that, what is he saying about his wife? He's saying about his wife that she had this relationship with another man, correct? Now, in that case, Ishto Nesra Olav Misha Shezinsa. What this means is a pasuk called Sota, and it means Echel Abal and Echel Aboel, that if a woman has this relationship within the course of marriage, this adulterous relationship, he can no longer live with her. And therefore, he says the following. There was a Habamin to say that Me'ata, now that he's testifying on his wife that she had this nus, Eino Nidona Kimo Baila, we don't consider it as if it's a husband who's testifying about his wife, and therefore Kasher Hu L'Hayit Oleha. And that's the Chiddush of Rava She'ein Adinke. El Kol Zman Lo Girsha, until he actually delivers a get, Adayin Ishtohi. So let me try to, again, I'm just going to try to explain the Yad Ramah the way I understand the Yad Ramah. You're all welcome to see the Yad Ramah in sign. There are two dimensions to Ishus. Marriage is made up of two elements. Number one, there's something called a kinyan. And number two, there's something called a heter Ishus, meaning a heter of intimacy. Right? Because before he marries her, the Torah says, Kedesha, then there's an Isra Kedesha, Lo Salva Kedesha, Vakal Yisrael, Pariya Bola Pnuya, is a violation of a perhaps a lav or an Isra essay. Again, that's a whole to do, I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, clearly, we need a. So, one element of the Isha's relationship is the Heter, is the Heter Bia. And the Rambam Paskin said, Arusa, Asura Levail is only mean Debre Sofrim, you know, after the Erison, he's allowed to live with her according to Torah law. And that's all fun. Oh. Now, what happens in the case of Isha Shezinsa? One element of the marriage is completely removed. Because one element, one dimension of Isha is the Heter Bia. And the Havamina was that the psul of Adam Karvetz al Ishto, which disqualifies him to testify on his wife, is based on a full-fledged Isha. There's got to be two dimensions, A plus B. There has to be a kinyan, which means that she's an Isha, see, she can't get married to anyone else. And number two, there has to be a relationship of Ishus in the full-blown sense that he can exercise, what word am I looking for? He can initiate a relationship of intimacy, a heter bia, and that also is integral to Ishus. If you remove one of those two elements, then the Ishus is mikutas. Are you familiar with that phrase? Right? Mikutas. What do they mean? Right? Mikutas. What does that mean, mikutas? Tonal answer at once, mikutas. Or I'll give you an easier word, maybe miktas, right? What's miktas?
Partial.
Partial, right? It's incomplete. So here's the chakira of Rava. The havmin of Rava, that is that Adam Karvetz al Ishto only applies to Isha, Ishto, Shlema. Right? It's a complete Ishus. It has both elements. The Kenyan element is there, that she's an Ishus Ish, no one could marry her. And number two, the Easter, the Heter Bia is part of the relationship. That they have a yichud in such a way that they're allowed to live intimately one with the other. In this case, because he's testifying that Zinso, which means there's an Issa Sota Labaila, that's called the Nitma, that he can no longer live with her. So we've removed one element of the Ishus. And if we remove one element of the Ishus, then it could be that it's no longer Adam Karvetz al Ishto. Kamashma, no, we only need one element to the Isha. Which element to the Isha still remains even after Hasnus? The Kenyan. The Kenyan element. She's still an Isha as far as the world is concerned. I'll give you an example. Let's say a woman gets married to a man, and after the marriage she has this illicit relationship, and he dies. And he left a brother to eat. The right now there was only one he. I'm going to introduce another he, but the first he means the husband. So the husband dies after she had this relationship, but there are no children, and he leaves a brother. So now we have another he.
Okay.
What's he called? The other brother?
Evil.
A yama. Right. He's a yama. So the Gemara says that in this case there's no evil. Why? Because evil only applies when a man dies and leaves a full-fledged Eishas Ish. Here she's not a full-fledged Eishas Ish, because there already was an Issa Labaila that was generated by Hasnus. Do you follow? So all I'm trying to indicate from this Gemara to Sugya Yevamis is that once the Iser Sota sets in, it's pogea, it's pogeim the Ishus. The Ishus now becomes what I call Miku Taas. Oh boy, I spelled that wrong. Miku Taas. This was meant to be a test. Okay, we'll get it all straight. Okay, so that's the Yad Ramah. So it's really fascinating because the Yad Ramah is clearing back and forth with the Habmin of Rav and the Maskana as to how to define the halach of Adam Karv Eitzel Ishto. When does that apply?
But what kind of Ishto? When did the Iser Bia happen to when exactly? When his testimony is accepted or before that? When does the Iser Bia happen?
I would say immediately with the Bia.
But who? How? Okay.
We'll have to clarify that. In other words, we need what's called a Birur.
As soon as it's accepted. You mean as soon as
no, the acceptance is Lamafre, meaning the acceptance is only a matter of clarification. That it's not Kiyul.
As soon as he suspects it, then there's the Iser.
No. I mean to say as soon as we may not know yet, right, but he actually witnessed it. But even if he didn't witness it, let's say there were other witnesses, as soon as she has this Bir relationship, she's Asur El Bail. He may not know about it, you know. It's not like Knas, you know, Knas Bezdin declares the Knas, they create the Knas. That's constructive. Here we're not talking about constructive, we're talking about clarification. So the Znus itself generates what's called Tuma. Tuma, it's an interesting word in Lashon Kodesh, because Tuma usually refers to contamination with the dead and so forth and so on, and that's Tuma for entering into the Migdash. But here the word tumah means a corruption of the marriage, and in such a way that he can no longer exercise his heter bia, his intimacy with his wife. So that's the Yad Ramah. Yesh mevarim is divrei Rava biofen acher. Here's another way of understanding Rava. It's unbelievable how fertile of a ground this is. Kavanas. Divrei Rava Adam Karov Eitzel Atzmo Hainisha Adam Yodea Shu Karov Li Atzmo Lefichach Enu Miskavim Lahoyed Al Atzmo V'Avshe Hizkir Es Maisa B'Tochei Duso Ein Ze Ela Pit Putei Dvarim B'Almo Lefichach Afal Gav Sheinu Neman L'Gabi Atzmo Ein Ze Mevatel Es Ei Duso Al Chaveru Aval Gabi Ishto Ein Ono Yodea She Posel Hu Li Hoyed Ole Bishum Kurva Ulefichach Miskavin Hu Li Oed Ole Vayetzarch Lomer Baze Eidu She Bat Le Miktsas Bat Le Kula Velo Ayin Neman Afal Chaveru Val Kein Ka Mashmalon Rava Di Af Eitzel Ishto Yodea Adam She Karav Hu La V'ein kavanos al liedus el sipur pipute dvar bi'alma kein einzim evatel es eduso al chaveru. Wow, this is a whole nother pshat. The havamin of the maskon of Rava revolves around the following question: when a man testifies on his wife, is that called testimony? And Rava's palgina dibura is based, right, in the case of Ploni Ravani Lutzoni, is based on the fact that what he says about himself is not Eidus. If it would be Eidus, then we would apply a principle called Batla Miktas and Batla Kula. If we can't accept your entire Eidus, then we don't accept even part of your Eidus. This is the flip side of what we said in Rashi, that if you believed on one part of the Eidus, you believe Mamela on the other part. Now we're saying the opposite, that one rotten part of the Eidus will torpedo the entire Eidus. So how does Rav apply the principle of Palgina Dibura? After all, he's testifying about himself, and that testimony is unacceptable. That should disqualify his testimony about the Rovea. So the answer is that his testimony himself is not called Eidus. It's not called Eidus. Sometimes a person comes into the Beis Din and he tells a lot of stories, he adds a lot of, you know, fluff. And, you know, the thing is, once they give him, you know, that's the old joke about the shofar blower, you know, he keeps blowing and blowing. So they said, why? Well, they gave me the shofar. Yeah, you know, once they give me the shofar, I'm going to keep blowing, right? So they let him testify. So he adds, so halachically, there are certain things that you add to your testimony that are not called testimony. They're considered irrelevant information. Now, the way the Acherim present this, it all depends on his kavana. Did he really mean it? Did he know? We'll leave that all out. Those are the details. I think we can sideswipe those details for time. The question is, when a man testifies about himself, is that called testimony or is it not called testimony? And here's the machlok between Rav Yosef and Rava. Rav Yosef said we have to throw out the entire Eidus. So in Ploni Ravani Litzoni, he cannot join up with another Eid Kasha to testify against the Roveya, because we blow up his whole Eidus. Why? Because he testified about himself, and that we cannot accept. Is Mamela, we can't accept his testimony even on the Roveya. Comes over Rav and he says, no, he never testified about himself. He was telling us stories. Whatever he says about himself is just Sipur Dvarim. It's just like, you know, it's Baba Mice. It's just storytelling. You know, it's very good, you know, you tell your child, you read him a book when the child goes to sleep. So he tells the story. Is Mamela, Palgina Dibur. Palgina Dibur really means that there's only one part of what he says that has a Torah Seidus to it. So Rav Yosef's a principle that Butla Miktasa Butla Kula is predicated on the fact that there's Eidus on himself, and that's Eidus Psula, and then we expand the Psula like a contaminated Eidus, and contagiously it affects the entire Eidus as a package. But Rav says that what he says about himself is not Eidus. Now what about his wife? Is that called Sipur Dvarim? You know, he's just telling us Baba Mises. It's not part of the Eidus. It's not elevated to the status of a Chal Shem Eidus. Well, no. This is very serious Eidus. He really meant to testify about his wife. And that's the difference between Rav and the Havamina and Rav and the Maskana. Rav and the Havamina thought, Adam Karvetzel Ishto Lo Amrina, meaning as far as Palgin and Dibura is concerned, we're not going to apply the principle of Palgin and Dibura here. And rather, we're going to throw out the entire Eidus. Why? Because when he testifies about his wife, that was a serious testimony, and it's possible, it's batel. And once it's batel, miktsasa, batel kula. There's a tsaras here that expands a contagious negative psul in the Eidus. Kamashmal and Rav know that just like Adam karvets al atzmo, which means that whatever stories he tells us about himself, that's not part of the Eidus, hence Palgina Dibura. But in the case of Ishto, what he says about his wife is a serious part of the Eidus, and therefore Butler Miktasa, Butler Kula, and that's going to be. So I think I mixed up the Havamina and the Maskara. Let me just go over this one more time. That in the Havamina and the Gemara, we're going to say that he meant, oh yeah, sorry. In the Havamina Gemara, we meant that he's very serious about his Eidus on his wife. And what's the status of that Eidus on his wife? Psula. If it's an Eidus Psula, then we're going to say that he's possible even as far as the Boel is concerned, because Batla Miktasa Batla Kula. Kamashmal and the Chiddush of Rava is going to be that what? That just like in the case of Ploni Ravani Lutzoni, when he testifies about himself, when we apply the principle of Adam Karvei Tzalatzmo, it means that what he says about himself is not Eidus, it's just excluded, and it's Baba Maisa, it doesn't have a Torah Eidus on it, therefore we don't apply Batla Miktasa Batla Kula. So too in the case of Adam Karvei Tzal Ishto, he didn't mean it, and it wasn't part of his Eidus, and he can't testify in himself or his wife, because Ishto Kegufo, and therefore, Palgina Dibu. Let's go on in the Gemara. The Amar Rava. Does everybody have the place now? Okay, this is about five lines down from the top of the Omen on Daf Yud Omen Aleph. And we're talking about the following testimony. Ploni ba al nara hamurasa. Now, what's the implication in the case of nara hamurasa? Well, number one, it means that the ploni here who had this relationship is going to be put to death. Right? Number two, it might have implications as far as what's called knas is concerned. Well, let's leave out knas, because this would be a case of kim lebe the rabbin. So there's no knas. Okay, forget about knas. But nevertheless, there's something called hefseid ksuba. Are you familiar with this? I think we've spoken about it in the past. Does anybody know by chance what I did with the eraser? Oh, here it is. Okay. So let's talk about the following. There's something called hefseid ksuba. Now, in order to appreciate hefseid ksuba, I have to introduce another halacha, which is called binureha base of viha. Now, what this means, binureha base of viha, this should be a hey, is that as long as a girl's a nara between the age of what? 12 and 12 and a half, right? Between 12 and 12 and a half, maybe it's 12 and one day, she has shtei saras, she's a nara, for the next 6 months she's a nara, she's in base of viha. He has control over all her monetary possessions, also can marry her off, and so forth and so on. Now, the case here of Binure Beis Avia is going to apply to the Ksuba in the following way. As long as she's a Nara and she's within the Rishus, the domain of her father, he collects the Ksuba. In event that she's divorced or widowed, then the father collects the Ksuba. Okay. Now, let's say that this girl, this Nara, was married off by her father. She's an Arusa, because otherwise after Nisuin, she leaves the Rishus of the father. So, but now she's still the Rishus of her father. So, for example, if her husband would die or divorce her, who collects the Ksuba? The father, because she's still a Nara, and she's only Mu'urasa. So both conditions. Now, two witnesses come in to testify that this Nara is not, you know, as innocent as you think she is. She engaged in a relationship with a man other than her husband. Well, now what happens is that she's going to be put to death, as well as the Boel, and the father loses the Ksuba. Why? Because a man is not willing to give a Ksuba to his wife at the moment of Nisuin if she had this relationship. So basically, you busted up the... So these witnesses are really trying to accomplish two different things. Again, you may ask me a question, what is their main primary goal? But let's say they have two goals. One is a very profound one, it's condemning this girl to death. And the other one is more of a monetary goal, namely that she no longer has rights to the ksuba. Now in this sense, she is impacting on whom? Who's going to lose it to the father, because it's been a rare base of it. Okay, now the Eidim becomes over. So another pair of Eidim say to the Eidim Habal that you were with us in a different place at that time. So you remember that we had already a discussion about this on Daf Tes Amud Beis, but this discussion here is a whole different discussion. And here the Gemara is going to say, in the name of Yosef, that we suspend the principle of Kimleib the Ramine, and the Eidim Zomim are going to get a double punishment. They're going to be put to death, and they're going to have to pay the father the ksuba. Again, they're going to the gallows anyway, but their Yarshim will have to pay the ksuba. And we don't apply the principle of Kimleib the Ramine. So it says, Omar Rava, Ploni ba al nara murasa, vehuzbu, nerogim, says Rava, v'ein mishalmim mamon. And in this case, they don't have to pay the hefsek ksuba to the father. Now, I told you that in this case, we're going to suspend the principle of kimleib the ramine. So let's read the rest of Rava, and then we'll put it all together from the top. And he says, Bito shel ploni, then nerogim u'mishalmim mamon. So what's the difference between the first two cases? In the first case, Rava says, we apply the principle of kimleib the ramine. We cannot extract from the Eidim Zomim in payment for the Hefsek Ksuba. But in the Sefer, we're going to apply the principle of Kimleib the Ramine, and therefore, we're going to suspend the principle of Kimleib the Ramine, and therefore, they're going to not only be killed, but they're going to pay for the Hefsek Ksuba. Now, what's the difference between the first case and the second case?
Just been identified.
Excellent. In the first case, it says, Ploni ba al nara murasa. They didn't identify this nara. So then the thrust of their testimony is only on the Boel, that he should be put to death. And therefore, even if at some point we clarify who this nara is, and as a result of this Mises Nus, the father will lose his rights to the Ksuba. But that wasn't part of their Avis. That wasn't part of their testimony, because they didn't identify who this girl is. So therefore, the principle is Kasha Zomam, that we give to the Edom what they wanted to beat out to the Nidon. And the accused here was not the Nara. It was only the Ish Plon. Okay, so therefore, there's Kimleib the Ramine, and even though there's a Hefsek Ksuba here in this case, again, we'll have to see exactly how we clarify that there is a Hefsek Ksuba, but even if there would be a Hefsek Ksuba, that's not within the purview and the parameters of their Eidus, and therefore there's no Kasha Zom. But Bito Shel Ploni, if the testimony was on this particular girl, so not just on the Boel, but they're testifying on the Nara, then if they become Eidim Zomimim, now we're going to suspend the principle of Kimleib the Ramine, and they're going to get a double punishment. Nerugim Umeshalmim mamon. Why is that so? What happened to Kimlei v'Rabbi? We never meet out two punishments for the same crime. The answer is, says Rava, mamon lazeh, unefashos lazeh. Okay, now there are many different ways of understanding this Gemara. I'm going to just give my intuitive, what I think is the simplest way of understanding this Gemara, is that there are two different victims over here. It's in effect, there are two different testimonies. There's one testimony against the Boel and against the Nara in this case, because again, the Edom identify her. And then there's another testimony that's relevant to the father. And that's a monetary testimony to establish, again, if we would have accepted the testimony of the first pair of Edom, that he loses his rights to the Ksuba. So you can combine two victims to one crime, so to speak. In other words, let's say, for example, a man, this is a sugya in Bava Kama, a man will kill a person. At the same time that he's killing a person, he destroys someone else's property. That's called the language of the Mishnah. That's called Hamadlikas HaGodesh V'Eved Kofuslo. There was a human being that was tied down to this haystack that's on top of a wagon, right? So the wagon is carrying the haystack, and a human being, in this case, happens to be an Eved. You have to know why the Gemara is talking about an Eved. But anyway, the Eved is tied down to the haystack in such a way that when the haystack goes up in flames, he kills the Eved. So someone owns the haystack, and someone owns the Eved. And in this case, the Madlik is going to be Chayav Misa for killing the Eved. That's based on a principle called Isho Mishum Chitzov, which we're not going to get into. And at the same time, he's Chayav as a Mazik for destroying someone's haystack. So in this case, we're going to say, forget about Kimlei v'Rabbeinu. There are two individual and isolated, independent victims over here. There's one victim of the Eved for whom he's Chayav Misa for killing the Eved. And then there's another victim, and that's the Bala Gadish. Now, some Rishonim are going to say that if the Gadish was owned by the Adon, the master of the Eved, then we would apply Kimlei v'Rabbeinu. Again, the very difficult Shitas in Rishonim, but let's give the easy case. The easy case of what's called Mamon Lezev and Nefash Lezev would be that he owes the owner of the haystack damages, compensation for Niske Adam Amazik, and at the same time, he's Chayav Misa for murder for killing the Eved. And in such a case, that's called Mamon Lezev, Misa Lezev. There are like two separate Averos that happened over here, just that they overlapped in one action, but they were two separate violations, two separate victims. Says Rava that we have the same situation here in Bito Shalploni, because in Bito Shalploni they're really testifying a double testimony. One is the Isha, right, the Nara in this case, she'll be the victim, and also the Boel as well. And then there's the father, because he's going to lose his rights to collect the ksuba if she was guilty of this deliberate avera. So that's called, in the Lashon of Rava, Mamon Lezeh Unefashos Lezeh, and that's going to remove or undermine the principle of what? Of Kimlei B'Drabmine. I don't know, I feel like I lost you guys. Are you following me or not? Normally, do we meet out two punishments for one crime? No, that's called what? Kimlei B'Drabmine. But we're going to suspend that principle, we're going to impose two punishments in the case of Mamon Lezeh, and he's chayav misa for trying to kill someone, and he's chayav mamon for trying to destroy the property of someone else or cause him some sort of a loss. And in this case, Rava says we impose both penalties. There's no kimlei b'Drabmine, because basically it's an overlap of two different averos and two different punishments. Again, on a psychological level, or shall I say an ethical level, this is good for a drasha before Musa for a rabbi, so don't take this seriously. But on a philosophical level, you could just simply say, why does the owner of the mamon, in this case the father who owns the ksuba, why should he Why should he suffer a loss just because they're putting this criminal to death for a crime that he committed as a capital murder crime? You know, therefore, I have to lose out. You know, that would be one sense. So you're putting this guy to death for killing the Eved, and therefore the Baal HaGadish has no right to collect damages for his Gadish. It doesn't make any sense. I'm just using that as a mnemonic device to help you remember this principle called Mamon Lezeh Unefashis Lezeh. Okay. So now let's go back to Rav Yosef on Daf Tes Amud Beis. Amar Rav Yosef, it's smack in the middle of Daf Tes Amud Beis. We did this, I think, on Wednesday of last week. Hevi Abal Edim Shezinsa. Rabosai, this seems like an identical case to that of Rava here at Daf Yud, and yet Rav Yosef's final conclusion, his ruling is that in this case we apply the principle of Kim Le B'Dramine. Is there no other option than to conclude that there's an irreconcilable debate here between Rav Yosef here on Daf Tes Amud Beis and Rava here on Daf Yud Amud Aleph? Because again, what happened? Let's start with the Baal. The Baal subpoenas two witnesses into Bezdin, and they testify against, in this case, his wife, that she had this nus relationship. So now they become Edim Zomimim. And Rav Yosef says in this case, they don't pay Mammon. What Mammon are we talking about? After all, if she was guilty of this nus, she loses her ksuba. So if you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maskel, the Ein Mishalmim Mammon on Daf Testament base, he says the following, about halfway through the Omen. Afal Pishayim Afsinan Osa Ksubasa Ein Mishalmim. They don't have to pay for the ksuba. No, she's holding on to a ksuba. By the way, she can sell the ksuba on the open market. I think we discussed this tangentially last week, that she won't get 200, nobody's going to pay 200 zuz, the full face value. But it's like selling bonds, you know. So right now, you know, the bond will mature in 7 years. So you'll pay some sort of fraction. I mean, the closer you get to the the 7 year maturity date, right? Then the more it's worth on the market. Here, in the case of Iksuba, Iksuba Masayim, she could sell for 140 zuz. And they'll cut out 60 zuz because who knows if the Baal is going to die first, maybe she'll die first. And who knows if he'll divorce his wife and so forth. There's so many unknowns here. Probably she'll collect Iksuba. It's probably worth the investment. But anyway, so she has Iksuba. This ksuba, as a result of the Edei HaBaal, is worthless. And they were therefore mafsid him, because again, they became Edim Zomim, and they were mafsid her, this ksuba. And now the question is, well, they're going to be put to death because they tried to condemn her to death. Are you able to now impose a chiv mamon because they also wanted her to lose her ksuba? And should we apply Kim Leib and the Rabbinine? So Rashi says, in explaining Rav Yosef, is Mischayev Benafsho, since the Edim, under the law of Kasha Zoman, will now be put to death, therefore Potem in HaTashlumin. And Rashi quotes the famous Pasuk of Lo Yason Anoshi Anesh, which is the basis for Kim Leib and the Rabbinine. So this seems to be a head-on collision with Rava here in our Gemara, because Rava says Mamon Lezeh Unefashis Lezeh, and therefore he suspends the principle of Kim Leib Derami. So one of the answers that's offered in order to try to reconcile Rav Yosef with Rava is to say that in our case of Rava we're talking about an Arusa, whereas in the case of Rav Yosef on Daf Tes Amud Beis, we talk about a Nesua. Now, how would that impact on Kim Leib D'Rabbinin? I'm not expecting an answer. It's very complicated, but see if you can come up with it. Again, we said that it's Mamun Lizeh when a Fashas Lizeh because of Binureh Beisavir. Binureh Beisavir only applies when she is what?
An
Arusa. A Nara and an Arusa. If she's a Nara plus an Asua, then she completely leaves the Rishus of the father, and you no longer apply the principle of Binureh Beisavir. So now we go back to the drawing board, to the score, you know, we get a scorecard here. When the Edim became Zomamim, what was their original intention? Were they attacking one victim or two victims? So let's start with Rava. That's easier case. How many victims are there of this Edus? Two victims. Why are there two victims? Because they're testifying against the Isha, right? Bita Shalploni. And also against the father that he's going to lose what? His rights to the Ksuba. Then we say Mamun Lizeh Nefashas Lizeh. But in a case where she was already what? An Asua, I mean she left her, she's the father, she's going to suffer the loss of the Ksuba. And therefore it's Mamun Umisa Lizeh Lechad. Chad meaning to one person. Right? The two Lizeh is separated into two. And Lechad means to one. So how many victims are there, so to speak? I'm using the word victim. I hope that's a good word here in this context. In the case of Rav Avinara Murasa, there are two different victims. Why? Because as long as she's an Arusa, she's still considered Birshus Avia. So who's going to lose the Ksuba? The father's going to lose his rights to collect the Ksuba. Well, that's called Mamun Lizeh. The Nefashas Lizeh is for the Baal and the Nevelis. That's the Isha self. But let's go back to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is talking about a case of an Isha Nesua. And if she's an Asua, then she leaves the Rishus of her father. And who's going to suffer the loss of the Ksuba?
She is.
Well, you know what? Kimle. Now we're going to apply Kimle because we're putting the Edom to death because of what they wanted to victimize her and put her to death for condemning her to death. And now they also want to destroy her Ksuba. That's called Mamon Umisa Lechad. And if it's Lechad, then we apply Kimle Bidarabimine. So the big question here is going to be the case of the Eved and the Gaddish. So what I told you before was that the Bala Gaddish is coming to claim compensation for his Gaddish, his haystack that went up in smoke, and the Chiyuv Misa is for killing the Eved. Right? So in such a case, that's going to apply the principle of Rabba, Mama Lizeh, Unifash Lizeh. But what happens if the owner of the Eved is also the owner of the Gaddish? In that case, are we going to apply the principle of Rav Yosef that it's all Chat, and therefore Kimlev the Ramin? So this depends upon how you view the relationship between an Adon and his Eved. For example, if the Adon himself would put his own Eved to death, guess what happens? He will be put to death as a Rotzeach. The fact that he owns the Eved has no bearing on Hilchos Ritzifa. So therefore, the victim of this crime, the murder victim, is the Eved, independent of the Adon. In other words, the person is being put to death, the Madlik, he's being put to death for what he did to the Eved. He murdered the Eved. So even if the Adon, the owner of the Eved, is also at the same time the owner of the Gaddish, that's going to be Mamun Lizeh and Nefashas Lizeh, because the Nefashas Lizeh is to the Eved. So speaking of the, you know, what does it say there by Hevel? It says, the Pasuk says, Udmei Achicha Tzarkim Elai, right? So the blood of the Eved is crying out. You know, so you owe him a Nefesh. You're going to be put to death for what you did to him. The fact that the Adon owns this Eved is irrelevant, and at the same time the Gaddish, that's irrelevant. It still becomes Mamun Lizeh and Nefashas Lizeh. So let me just read to you, we're going to have to stop, but I just want to read to you the footnote here. He says the following.
Why did you say it's irrelevant?
Because the Misa here is for the Eved, not for the Adon. The financial ownership of the Adon over the Eved is not relevant to Hilchas Ritzicha. If the Adon is not a Baal Dovar, as far as Ritzicha is concerned, he'll be guilty to the same extent of anybody else in Ritzicha if he kills the Eved. So to whom does this Rotzeach, the Madlik, owe his life? He owes his life to the Eved, not to the Adon. But the Gaddish he owns to this Adon, because the Adon happens to own the Gaddish. So that's called Misa Lizeh, Umamun Lizeh. So I'm just going to read to you this footnote. He says, Lo nechak rov al divrei Rav Yosef liel daftes, hasover, she'edei abal ne'rogim, The ein mishalmim mamon. You know, he applies kimlein to Rabbi Yonei. Me'achash Hashem osek Rav Yosef ishna nesua u'mamon aksuba shalahu nimtza sheidim zomim bo l'chayv osa miso lafsida. Right, ma'apikei lafsida mamon. The yeshkan chiyuv miso mamon li adam echav havi miso mamon l'chad. Al kain, therefore, we pick the greater onus, the more profound onus, and we exempt him from the lesser. Al kain, in Rava, medubar b'nara murasa, shekol shvach mamon sheyeshla shel aviyahu, and therefore, if he's being mafsid the ksuba, he's being mafsid the ksuba to the father, who has rights to sell the ksuba on the market, and the edim zomim are coming to mechayv ha-misa, that's called misa lezeh, Umamon Lizeh. Okay, Rabosei, so we'll stop here. If somebody could remind me tomorrow that we're up to Viyama Rava. Ploni Rava Hashar Vehuzma. Okay, then? I wish everyone a meaningful fast, and thank you so much.